Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. A multicultural, multi-talented leader, God prepared In Kwan Jun for ministry in a remarkable way. In Kwan was born in South Korea. He attended elementary and high school in the Dominican Republic. He went to college in Massachusetts and seminary in Washington, D.C. Unique experiences make you who you are. And God prepares you for special service too. And that's why we have the Good Life radio program, to remind you, even as Pastor In Kwan Jun has experienced in his life, the preparation of God is masterful. And here's a marvel, is that God, in his preparation, not only uses the exciting things, the novel things, he can use some of the most painful, even despicable, and challenging times in our lives. That's the meaning of the gospel, that Christ, in his redemptive power and grace, calls us to himself, calls you, dear one. God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, get this now, 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Will you come to Jesus, dear one? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, there's always hope in Christ. Pastor In Kwan Jun attended undergraduate work at Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts, and went to seminary at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. After seminary, he served in the Korean United Methodist Churches in Maryland, Virginia, and Hawaii. He's the youth pastor at IAEA Korean United Methodist Church. He's engaged to Deborah. Pastor In Kwan, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
What was it like growing up in the Dominican Republic?
I left South Korea when I was 9. And so going to Dominican Republic was like going to vacation. And I just remember that, you know, I think Korea, a lot of the Asian countries are known for their rigorous school system. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when I went there for 6 months, I had to wait because Korea, the school starts in February, but in the American system, school starts in August or September. So I remember going there and I just had 6 months of free time, you know, and I think that was good as a kid growing up. I remember, you know, playing badminton with friends I made already. And for me, it was like just going on a big trip. And so it was exciting for me. I know that my parents, you know, they had it rough, leaving all their family. And my dad had a very thriving ministry in Korea, but it wasn't his first choice to be sent as a missionary. But looking back, I know that it was the best choice he's ever made because I reaped so much blessing from his obedience. Mm-hmm. But I just had a blast. And the Dominican people, they have great heart. And mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder, did I always have a good heart or did I get it from the Dominicans? Mm-hmm. I'll know that, you know, when I meet the Lord. But mm-hmm. I feel like that's, I'm a Korean on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a Latino. And wow. I'm a spicy Latino. You know, I have, I have some little dancing inside of my soul because of the Dominicans.
How long did it take you to pick up the language?
I think that less than a year or two, because I think when you're in your elementary years, your brain is just so, full of potential. And I went to a Christian private school because the education system, obviously, being a third world country, it's not at par with what I had in Korea. And I think having Korean parents, they definitely wanted me to, have the best. And so I went to Christian private school. It was in English, but then we had like 1 hour of Spanish every day. And all of my friends were, from Dominican Republic. So like a year. Yeah.
Santiago Christian School.
That's right.
Now, so did you spend most of your time with the, the friends that you made from school? Were there other missionary kids, or were some of them local kids, or some government or business students? A bit students of people in government or business. Was that how the setup was for the school?
Yeah, I think that it's a trend. I think that in most private schools, you get kind of the top business people and government people. We had like probably 80% were business people, pretty well-to-do in general, because they could afford it. And then 20% were other missionary students, my church youth kids, a group of like 12 of us all went to the same school, same church, and they're the closest people I have.
Who influenced you? Go ahead, Suzanne.
I just wanted to ask real quickly if you have siblings.
Yeah, I have a 1 year older sister.
Okay, thank you.
So she was with you through that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would have to say it's my dad. because I remember that since the beginning, the earliest memories I have is worshiping in the church. I think that my dad really, he was like a pioneer in the faith. I think sometimes you find pastors' kids who are jaded, and because they see that the father is one way in the church but a different way at home, and they get kind of scarred by lack of love. But my dad, on the other hand, like, he was an excellent, I think, pastor, excellent leader. So since the earliest age, I just wanted to be like him. Just wanted to be, awesome at being a pastor. So, yeah.
Well, nothing quite like hearing it from your own child. that's a sterling mark of integrity, authenticity, grace. What a model to follow.
Yeah.
Now, growing up in a Christian home with such strong Christian leadership, inspirational Christian leadership. When would you say, Inquan, you made a personal decision to follow Christ?
I never had a moment where I was like, okay, from today, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, or from today, I declare you as Lord.
Yes.
But it was it was more like since I was born, from my earliest memory, like a straight shot. However, there were some key moments, and a couple of the key moments. One was in when I went to Korea during summer break, and then Korea had this like huge youth revival retreat conference, and I remember just like encountering the fire of God, just the passion for God. So for me, that kind of defines me, my role, the passion inside, that kind of confirmed, my love for God. I couldn't deny the experience in that time.
How old were you at that time?
I was in third grade.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Fourth grade, sixth grade. No. Yeah, third grade.
You moved already.
Yeah.
And then you went back.
Yeah, it was right around that time, 3 or 4 or 5, yeah. Okay. Very, very young.
Thank you. So.
Well, this is it's in really a special a special thing to behold. And what I'm describing is a man of God who is on fire and who has been on fire for the Lord since elementary school. Mm-hmm. And not just on fire, but he has Korean fire and he has Latino fire. This is a unique blend. I would love, I'm just kind of envisioning in my mind, in Kwan, you dancing, you know, you doing the boogie, because it must be used by God to reach young people too.
Amen.
It's the unbridled passion. It's magnetic. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the relationship that Christ has with Pastor Inkwan and the relationship that Pastor Inkwan has with Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and our guest today, Pastor Inkwan Jun, youth pastor, dynamic, multilingual. He speaks Spanish, Korean, English. He's been educated on the East Coast. He has friends that speak multi languages. And he is able to reach into hearts. But you know what? I'm interested about his parents. What did his parents teach him? We'll hear more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back. I'm Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Pastor Inkwan Jun. Hey, you ever have an experience that literally changes your life? It brings you into connection with friends, lifelong friends, but you have to engage with another culture. And not only that, but the culture becomes a part of you. Well, that's the story of Inkwan Jun. He's a pastor, youth pastor at Aiea Korean United Methodist Church. You can find out more about him and his ministry at akumc.org. Again, akumc.org. Pastor Inquan, now, how has your relationship with Christ made a difference in your life?
Yeah, for me, you know, I really like where I'm now because I see things, you know, I always thought, you know, I don't have a testimony, you know, I always felt like, because, you know, I never left the church, you know, I don't have a big, like, turning point, so I was like, what's the purpose of my life, you know, in one sense, I wish I had a story like, you know, I got out of jail or something like that, but I realized that my relationship with Christ, actually, it's been like a, you could say like a bubble. Christ provided a bubble for me, and then, you know, inside the bubble, it was like heaven, you know. So, I was always happy, you know, since the earliest time in my school, my fellow classmates were always wondering, why are you smiling always? Like, it's 8 in the morning, you know, like, you're not supposed to be smiling. And I realized it's because I always felt God's presence. And so now I didn't know I was in a bubble. I thought everybody was happy and just carefree like I was. I realized that he did that to protect me. He did that to because he knows my heart, and he knows that I wasn't ready to, like, know all the things, you know. He was waiting for the moment when I can learn the deeper things about human beings, about sin, about grace. And so, yeah, but ever since I was little, it was like a bubble. Yeah.
Wouldn't we love that for everyone, Danny? Wow. I may clone him here in the studio.
Well, we need to clone the bubble, too.
Yes. Oh, that's part of it, for sure. But I'm also waiting for him to break out and dance. So we'll see how this works.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so just to kind of, so that bubble, though, I realized that, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, an incubator, too, because, I mean, it's good because it keeps you, but in order to grow, in order to mature like Christ, which means to mature in love, I actually had to break out of that bubble. Mm. And that process kind of happened around from middle of college into seminary. And as I started serving the church as a leader, you know, I was challenged in many ways because I realized I had to stop seeing, or just that's not the only way I can see the world from just my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a big shift. So if there was any moment of, like, you know, being born again, it was realizing, like, man, I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. Like, when the bubble kind of burst, I realized, wow, like, I need God's grace, you know. Mm-hmm. So the bubble is good, but also it's not the ideal. I think God wants us to walk in maturity, you know, through all the trials. So, yeah.
What do you cherish the most when you think about your time there in the DR?
Mm. Yeah, you know, it was amazing because since I was in about seventh grade, by then my dad had already built the church, started a school, and we started getting mission teams, short-term mission teams from Denver, New York, Washington, New Jersey, Boston, Texas, some from Korea. Basically, every summer break was the most exciting time because we had about, in a period of like 3 months, like 11 mission teams, some from Canada. Mm. In the beginning, it was just like nuts. I mean, and it was so cool because, you know, you had these people who were very excited, obviously, to serve God. And so you kind of gleaned that excitement for ministry. And then also you're kind of like the, not the superhero, a superstar, but, you know, you're the pastor's kid or whatever, you know, so you kind of get special treatment. So, you know, whatever love I couldn't get, you know, like, these people were like saying, oh, you're so awesome, you know. So that actually helped my self-esteem growing up in my junior high years. And I think looking back, I think that's what kind of gave me the confidence to kind of stay the course. You know, in the young ages, that's when you need a lot of encouragement. So, the mission teams came, and then we went to, you know, we did vacation Bible school for the kids. Like, we just put a tarp on the streets, and just like hundreds of kids come here, come out, and you open a bag of candy, and then they literally like run you over. And then we did night revivals. We had a generator, set up the sound, lights, and 300 chairs, and just blast the music. And, you know, I would translate the sermons and go to hospitals, drug rehab. So you can imagine, like, so for me, doing mission work was vacation. You know, it was the fun thing to do.
Are you still in touch with the friends you grew up with?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think that back then there was no internet technology. I remember the first time, like, we connected on this thing called MSN Messenger. Like, it was like a miracle, you know, like you can actually see somebody type, you know, live, you know. And so, you know, I think if you had like Facebook back then, maybe we'll stay in touch a little more. But it's been such a long time ago. But if I, you know, ever see them, of course, we have that real connection, you know. And I think that one day that may come in handy, where literally thousands of people who have come through our church, you know, we can be connected. So,
did you build relationships with some of the, some people from outside the school? Or let's say outside the bubble, so to speak.
Outside, no, not really. See, that's the thing that, you know, my life was, I was a good student, you know. I don't know. My mom said to be a good student, so I was. So, you know, most of my time after school was doing homework. And then weekends were with church friends. Mm-hmm. And then, see, I think that's the thing I'm learning, is that the bubble kind of kept me to myself too. So for example, like as a Korean, I think that historically we're like the only people, you know, in the world. We're just like this one country that speaks Korean, you know. And historically we were invaded in many different times. And so we're kind of like, we like to stick together, you know, naturally. We kind of like to huddle and protect ourselves just mm-hmm. subconsciously. And so I think that's what, you know, kind of made me, like, I wasn't like against other people, but I just kind of gravitated towards that. And the fact that our church was Korean did that, you know. So my interactions with the local people were also in the church. So I didn't get too much opportunity to, you know, reach out mm-hmm. outside of the church. I mean, school was great. We had like worship chapel on once a week, but after school, sometimes I go to their parties and whatnot, but then it wasn't as tight as my Korean or my church Dominican mm-hmm. friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, why did you choose to study on the East Coast at Gordon College?
You know, it was money. I needed to apply to school that could give me scholarship, you know, because there's no way my parents could. And I applied to all the, and it happens to be that all the schools that have scholarship are like Harvard, Yale, mm-hmm. you know, the big schools. And of course, they did not accept me. I got like 10 schools that just sent me the small envelope. That's how you knew. If you get a big envelope, you're happy. Small, you're not, you know. Yeah. But Gordon and Calvin both did it. But Gordon had a better scholarship package for international students. And It was awesome. I mean, I had phenomenal professors there. So,
what did you major in?
I started with sociology, and then I was going to double major with that and biblical and theological studies. But I ended up just doing biblical and theological studies. Yeah, majored there. Mm.
So did you feel growing up that you just naturally had a calling to ministry, or was there something more distinct that took place, or the collection of all those experiences of missionaries sitting under your dad mm-hmm. In his leadership as your father? What would you say?
For me, yeah, I think for me, it was just really natural. I mean, God was what I wanted, you know, and like full time, you know, that's what I was dreaming about. And then definitely the leadership role I was given at in the mission field really helped me feel comfortable as a leader for that, and I felt something I could, I'm capable of doing, I love doing. And then, let's see, also, yeah, like school also helped out, because at Gordon College, I had phenomenal Bible teachers, fell more in love with the Word of God and experiencing God. And then seminary, I struggled a little bit with my dad because I wanted to stay in Boston, in Gordon Conwell, but my dad suggested Wesley Theological Seminary. It's more denomination. A lot of denominational churches are not, they're not just evangelical. They have their, you know, flavor, their slant on things. But either way, it was full ride. So, you know, I kind of, that was the only door I had, you know. So I had to kind of walk where God was opening the doors for.
That's interesting how the Lord has led you in your life, particularly now as we speak about your educational experiences, through resources.
Yeah.
Through the finances and the funding. And you said it, the doors were open, you know, where God guided you, he opened up the door and the resources to do that and cultivated you along. Beneath all of what you're saying, an underlying theme that I just keep coming back to is the way the Lord has cultivated your heart, your life, through all these marvelous experiences that you've had. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a testament, and not everyone can say, obviously, that, you know, speak of the bubble as you've spoken of it, the incubator. Some people wish that they had that
because
it would have prevented them or protected them in some ways from some very
scars,
very jading. rough moments, scars, jading indeed. Mm-hmm. But I think in the cultivation, there's a uniqueness that's personalized that God has for In Kwan Jun, and he has for you, dear one. As you listen to this testimony, this story, don't be mindful, be careful not to think, wow, oh, you know, I didn't have that, or I didn't have those opportunities, or I didn't have this particular. No. God prepared Pastor In Kwan for what God is doing in and through his life now. And he would not be able to do it in the way that he's doing it had he not been prepared in the way he was prepared. That does not discount the value and the immeasurable grace that God has given, even in your life. However difficult, however challenging it might be, there's a plan and purpose for you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry?
Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
His parents were amazing Christians before he was born, and his early childhood memories were filled with ones of praying and worshiping with other believers at his father's church near Incheon. And then in 1993, In Kwan became a missionary with his parents in the Dominican Republic. Starting in the third grade, he attended Santiago Christian School there in the DR and graduated from there before going to Gordon College in Massachusetts. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Pastor In Kwan Jun. You can find out more about him and his ministry, Aea Korean United Methodist Church, at akumc.org. Again, akumc.org. Now, you might be thinking, hey, I heard part of it. Can I hear this whole program? I'd like to share it with a family member or a friend. How can I access it? You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get it as a free podcast. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Pastor, now you've lived on two sides of the country. Do you see God doing unique things in each place or similar things?
Oh, very unique. Definitely not similar because, and especially coming to Hawaii, I realized that well, first of all, yeah, when I first came to Hawaii, it was 2012, about 4 years ago. And I was kind of, I had a culture shock because I was like, this isn't like United States. And I realized that what a blessing, it's like more like Asia. And I was able to, because in the mainland, you know, it's more, you know, Latinos or the white people or, you know, African Americans. And so, yeah, it was different, but I think that in Hawaii, definitely I feel like here we can accomplish something as a body of Christ that, you know, can be used as a model because of the, maybe just the size and just one of the dreams that I felt like I had was that somehow that the churches can be united, you know, as a model for the next thing that the church needs to be about, you know, about demonstrating the reconciliation by ourselves first to the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What brought you to Hawaii?
It was my friend from college. He's he was 2 years older than me, and he had moved on to do seminary in Emory. His name is Kyung Lee. He's also a missionary kid from Brazil. And while he was going for seminary, he actually sidetracked to the business, MBA. And he had great business, but then, you know, he felt God was strongly leading him towards ministry again. And his parents helped my current senior pastor meet his wife. So obviously there's that connection there. And mm-hmm. I think when Kyung wanted to serve through the parents, they kind of found that there's an opening in Hawaii. And then after he was here for about 3 years, our church was going to be built. And so they wanted to expand the staff. So he was kind of looking at who's available and happened that at the time I was. So
wonderful. Thank you.
What are you most passionate about?
Most passionate about? For the longest time, it's been worship. mainly because that's kind of how I connected with God. But I think that now I'm most passionate about, I feel like the calling in my life is to help people who've been in the church, who do not really know God, to come to the fullness of that, because there's nothing more powerful than seeing somebody set free by the true knowledge of Jesus Christ and his grace. And I still see that a lot of people are struggling in the law, thinking, having the wrong, or I would say the insufficient view of God, and helping them see that God as their father and what that truly means. I think there's nothing more beautiful than seeing his kingdom really change someone's perspective and their life. And so allowing them to come out of the religion into the freedom of the Holy Spirit is, I think, my greatest passion.
Now, how does that relate when you lead your youth?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, my first 4 years in IEA Korean United Methodist Church, it's been my first full-time ministry. And it's been amazing. It's an amazing church, especially the senior pastors, the most gracious senior pastor I've ever known. Because I've had some scary senior pastors in the past who are Korean. You know, there's a reason why Korean churches are doing so well in Korea, because we have that Korean spiciness. But I just love where I am, because mainly because it was a place I could also make the mistakes, rookie mistakes of not being a good leader. And I realized that, so as I was coming out of the bubble, for me to encounter God, for me to overcome depression, for me to overcome sadness and those kind of things was very easy. And in my immaturity, I thought that's how everyone can do it. Like, why don't you just, like, you know, just be happy, just be thankful, you know, just praise God right now, you know. But, and so a part of that attitude kind of played into my leadership as a youth pastor. And so it was very me-centric. Like, it was all about, like, what I can do. But I realized that, you know, if Christ could do that, then he wouldn't have to make disciples. He wouldn't have to serve people, you know, he wouldn't have to empower people. But we see a different model of ministry. And so what I had to learn was less of me and more of, you know, empowering other people. And so that's been a hard journey, because I've lived in the bubble most of my life. And so now to have to relinquish my control and to communicate others, simple leadership things, I just realized how important leadership is in the ministry. And so because even though I have a good message, if I don't, like, prepare it well, if I don't give the kids the context to learn it and experience it, I was having trouble making that connection with the people.
Now, you mentioned your current senior pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of it also in the context of your father, who is a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership lessons. What lessons have you learned from your dad? And what lessons have you learned from this pastor who led you make some of those rookie mistakes and help correct you along the way? Both.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I think that when you look at the Korean pastors, you know, let's say in their 50s and above, they all kind of have the similar kind of mentality and leadership style, which was something that they learned, you know, which is very much kind of just go for it no matter what kind of style, you know. And actually, you know, when I reflect on my dad, like, he was, I think, probably one of the most, even now, like, one of the most remarkable pastor and missionaries that ever was. However, as a father on a personal side, like, he's not the best. Not because he did bad, but he just didn't know what to do. And, I mean, also, he had given him his life completely. He just plunged into the mission field, you know, laying his life down. And that's something I had to recognize as I was growing up, coming out of the bubble, that I didn't have somebody who would mentor me and, you know, father me from A to Z. And so, but that deficiency, I realized that that's where my passion comes, because even though I was a Christian, the same thing, like just like even though I was, I had a great person as my father, you know, the relationship as a father-son wasn't there. I realized the same thing with God sometimes, that, you know, we don't see him as father and we don't know what that relationship is like. From my dad, I mean, you know, from my dad and both my senior pastor, definitely hard work and sacrifice, you know, like unquestionable, like sacrifice and hard work is definitely there. But also I think that in terms of leadership and mentoring, discipleship, I actually had to kind of have different models taught to me, you know. And so, I needed different mentors in my life, and God definitely provided those.
What are some of those models?
Well, I think that, you know, even in the culture, when you see it, in the Korean culture, it's very hierarchical. So you have the older people, even if you're 1 year older, you're seen as a superior and you have to obey. Like, as a society, whoever is a year older than you, they can tell you what to do and you have to listen, kind of thing. So that exists in the Korean culture, but coming to America, it doesn't. It's more like a friendship. And so, pastors who grew up in the U.S., who understand who are more of American culture, I feel like they can also cater the gospel message in a different way because of who they are. Does that make sense? Like a cultural. Yeah.
Well, it does. It mm-hmm. does. And of course, it means so much and so much more that it's coming from you as you're explaining it, because it's being mm-hmm. processed through your life.
Yeah.
I also think that it has a broad sense of relatability. And that's mm-hmm. why when we come back, let's talk some more about this. Because we're talking about cross-cultural leadership.
True.
Cross-cultural understanding, cross-cultural applications.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you're explaining the context from where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And your understanding coming from Korean culture, but also bridging what you've experienced in a broader cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are as a bridge between both for a very dynamic generation that's coming up. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that. More from Pastor In Kwon Jun when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ. Hear me call.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
One of the most cherished qualities that a person can have, and yet it's elusive. People know they need it, know they have to go through it, but they don't do it because they don't want to have to go through the difficulty or the shame or the correction. What are you talking about, Danny, you ask? Well, I'm talking about making rookie mistakes in life. And here's the thing, making rookie mistakes in life, we often think, well, of course, well, I did that when I was young. But how will we ever grow and continue to grow in life if we, from time to time, don't still make certain rookie mistakes so that we can develop and learn something new and grow in other ways? Well, our guest today, Pastor In Kwan Jun, well, he actually brought that word up called rookie mistakes, but he's learned from some mentors, not only from his dad and from his senior pastor, but from others, especially in a cross-cultural environment, growing up Korean, but of course in the Dominican Republic. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, and Pastor In Kwan Jun. You can find out more about him and his ministry at IAEA Korean United Methodist Church at akumc.org. Again, akumc.org. In Kwan, let's go back. Let's go back to that. Again, the lessons that you learned when you were corrected in some of these mistakes that you made, were they gentle corrections or more stern or firm? How did it, or did it matter just that you were corrected being the most important thing? What was it? How'd you process that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the Lord working humility in me, and also learning about truth, how important it is to live in truth and how difficult that can be with, you know. And so it wasn't a one-time thing, but it was kind of like here and there you see a trend. I think that sometimes the Lord, you know, I think sometimes seeing the log in our eyes is very difficult. So we need like few evidences, you know. And so I think, you know, times that when ministry, things become something's painful because of my mistake, like God allows me to kind of sit in that pain for a little bit and try to ponder what's going on, you know. And so it's been I realize the Lord's very gentle. You know, I think as human beings, we want to just tell them right now, you know, we want to tell people to fix their problem. But I think over like 2-3 years, the Lord's just like gently saying, Ingwan, like, you got to admit this, you know. And he was kind of turning on the light slowly in the room to see in the mirror who I really was. You know, as it says in Romans chapter 7, like, utterly, you know, broken, utterly sinful, apart from God. And so, you know, I realized that to the extent that I experience how sinful I am is the extent that I can experience God's grace. So if I think that I just need God's grace, like, you know, 10% or just on Monday, that's all I'm going to get. But if I realize, man, the depth of my failure and my sin is eternal, then I need eternal grace. And mm-hmm. So I think the Lord was strengthening my heart to trust his grace more, because before that, I'm trusting more of my righteousness, my talents, all my background and all this, you know, whatever I can, you know, say I'm this and this. All of that means nothing, you know, compared to what he's doing. And so that's been a beautiful, I guess, training for me.
Danny, over the break, we were talking about his desire to reach out in the community mm-hmm. with their church. And they are hosting the explicit conference next month at their church. And I wondered if we could have him share a little bit about that.
Of course.
Yeah, so, you know, it's very interesting because I feel like, you know, in the last year, it's definitely been a growing up year, you know, as I'm talking about these leadership things, these are pretty, you know, fresh. You know, I think that, and also, you know, the fact that I got engaged, I feel like God finally said, okay, Ingwen, I can trust you now. I can trust you now to take care of, to love someone well. And then also our church, we moved into a new facility. The church has been around for, you know, 30 years and actually 40 years. Next week, we're going to celebrate our 40th anniversary. Mm. And on the 39th year, we finally accomplished the dream that we had since the beginning, since 40 years ago, of building a new church. And it's beautiful. It's fantastic. And what we've been realizing over the last year is God is also saying to us, you know, it's time to mature. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being a niche community for Korean immigrants, God is saying, what does the kingdom of God look like? What is the call of Jesus Christ? And so, we started a new service at 2:00 for English-speaking people who can, you know, anyone from the community can come. And we just realized that God's call is something broader, more than just our church and our community. So having said that, you know, as we're renting our facilities out and making connections, you know, we're realizing like, yeah, it's true. God has called the church not just for that local church, but for the world. And so, and then one of my gifts is also connecting with people. And so somehow the connections I've made over the last 4 years is coming together into a working relationship right now.
What is the date of the conference?
October 22.
And can you tell us just a little about it?
Yeah, so Explicit started, I believe, a year and a half, two years ago. Yeah, it's a really movement for interchurch to strengthen and encourage the youth kids in Oahu with many issues that that relate to them, which, whether it's sexuality, sexual purity, whether it's there's also talk about homosexuality. There's also talk about suicide, all these kind of things. And this time, we have her name is Brittany. She was an ex porn star, and then she's going to be able to share her testimony and talk about, I feel like, Face It is the name, about, you know, kind of like what I'm talking about, facing the issues, how important that is to not ignore the hard realities of our need for God.
Mm. You can find out more at explicitmovement.org. That's a website about the event. And registration can be done there too, explicitmovement.org. What is your favorite scripture verse?
Oh, I like that. Definitely Psalms 34, 17 through 18. If I can try to quote it, it's the Lord, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. And you know, that just, so at the time of me breaking out of the bubble, kind of realizing, wait, what, the world's not as I thought I thought it was. And I'm not as awesome as all these missionary kids, you know, mission teams came and like praised me, you know, I'm not the superhero. And as that was happening, I realized I started realizing the brokenness in my heart. But how crazy it is that God's not near the perfect. He's not near the all put together, the clean smelling, you know, all healthy ones, but he's actually near the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And that just spoke to me. And then the verse right before that, it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. And I knew that the being righteous, it was one way. It's by having faith in God. It's by the word of God, by trusting in the promises of God. And I knew that as long as I can have faith in God, I don't have much in life. I don't have, you know, much talent and abilities. But if I have the faith in God, I know that he will deliver me from all my troubles. And he indeed has in my life.
What would you say? We've got a couple minutes left to someone going through a really rough time right now.
I've learned in my life that how important others are. I took that for granted as I'm talking about this happy world I was in, my bubble. I realized, you know, I thought I was self-sufficient, and I think that's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. You know, even relying on my good things, on my good side, you know, if I were to do it again, I would not. And I would really treasure the people around me I think a lot of times, a lot of issues and problems I face is because I'm focused on myself. But I want to be more interested about others, because that's what love is. Love is, you know, love is not something about taking, but it's about giving first. And I encourage whoever is out there, just, you know, make room in your heart for others. And perhaps that's where your healing, that's where your strength is going to be coming from.
Brother, lead us in a prayer.
Yeah.
Pray for those who mm-hmm. may be struggling.
God, I just ask in Jesus' name that right now they would know that there is a God who is good. And not only are you just good, but you are our Father. You're the one who provides all things. And I ask you in Jesus' name right now that every child of God that is suffering, or every person that has not encountered Jesus yet that is suffering, that they will come to know this God who loves them, this God who is a Father to them. And Holy Spirit, right now, would you allow them to open up their heart, their bitter heart, their hardened heart, and allow others to speak truth into their lives. Help them to experience the joy of becoming, of knowing Jesus and becoming like Jesus, that their heart may be humble, that their heart may have space and room for others to walk with. So God, I pray that this island, this nation will become one under you, under one family, and under one leader, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing in this time with us and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Danny.
Dear one, I hope you've been encouraged today by the story of Inkwan Jun. Again, you can find out more at akumc.org. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, just like Pastor Inkwan had mentioned, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Inkwan Jun, again, akumc.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave